The Mike Lupica Podcast.
New York Daily News columnist and best-selling author.
Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A billion-dollar industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast today. We will be talking with the great Larry David, who started us off over a year ago. But before we get started with Larry, this from Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. You know, when I introduce you, it's not nearly enough to call you, you know, in a completely open way, a comedy genius. I also It's not enough. But I also should identify you as the greatest golf partner I've ever had, because
now that's a compliment.
And Larry knows
that's
this.
A real compliment.
About a year ago, we played golf together, and we're playing with these two guys. And it's not important to mention who they are. Kenneth Cole, the shoe guy. So we're standing there, and they're saying, "How about we do this bet and do this bet and this do this bet?" And finally, Larry says, he walks over and he says, "How much money do we want to lose today?" And I said, you know, and I threw out a figure. And so we scaled down the bets and then went out to win about, in my memory, I think we won like 16 out of 18 holes. If we had taken all their bets, they would have each had to buy us a car.
Yeah, no, we did very well. Very well. I think I had a particularly good round that day, did I not?
Oh, you played way better than I did. You played way better than I did. And I think I might have helped you on one hole each side. But you carried the team all the way to this crazy par five at the end, where there's an opening to the green and water everywhere. And you hit a five wood on the green about 8 feet and made it to clinch all the bets.
What is better than that in life? I can't think of anything.
We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lupica Podcast, and at long last, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Season 9, returns.
By the way, thank you. Thank you for that little shout-out in your column on Sunday.
I've been counting down every – and Larry knows this, okay? Every time I go on a long flight, and you know, my wife will have all these great movies, and she'll have downloaded all this stuff, and she'll look over – and I will have randomly picked a season of Curb because I know that no matter what happens, I'm safe now for several hours. And if it's season two or season three, I'm good because I remember them, but I haven't committed them to memory. And
let me tell you, nothing pleases me more than when people tell me that they watch it on the plane. I love to hear that.
I do it all the time. I'm starting a book tour actually tomorrow, and then when I finish it, I'm going to go meet my wife in London for a few days, and I'm going to do what I do. It's almost like I close my eyes and randomly pick one season and take that with me, because I know that's like, you know, however, I mean, it's 10 episodes times a half an hour, and I'm good. I'm completely good. Despite the fact that there's one bone of contention between Mr. David and myself, and I thought that there was a chance for me to be to replace J.B. Smoove and be the wisecracking black sidekick.
You've mentioned that, yeah.
and you always tell me the same thing. You tell me I'm definitely your second choice.
As soon as J.B. quits, you'll get your audition.
Okay, so let's talk. We're going to talk about the Yankees and the Jets and all stuff like that. Tell me about the new season and what it was like to get back to work. We talked while you were filming and what did it take long to get back into the rhythms of doing what it was one of the great shows in the history of HBO?
No, it didn't take long at all. The writing was exactly the same process. And then the first day of filming, always the first take, I'm a little off on the first take, which I was this time, and maybe even a little more so because it was the day after the election.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't the happiest set.
Right.
So, but then I got right back into it, second take, and it was smooth sailing pretty much from that point on.
And pretty much everybody is back, right?
Yeah, everybody's back.
And how have you? So Cheryl's back, and so how does I don't want to do any spoiler alerts or anything. How do we explain where Cheryl has been?
I don't really explain where anybody has been. It becomes very. I mean, you know, look at you. Where have you been?
Yeah, I know.
Where have you been? You're in the same house.
Right.
Everything's the same.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, so you're not doing the radio show anymore. You're doing this. That's a big deal, you know.
And I saw the statement you issued, I went away, I did nothing, I came back. I thought it was almost MacArthurian. You know, it was Douglas MacArthur-like, just the way you explained.
No, it was Caesar-ish. It was Caesar.
It was Caesar. We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. Curb Your Enthusiasm finally returns for season 9 on Sunday night, October 1st, right?
Right.
And, right. I should know this, but I don't. How many years were you away? Was it six?
I think the last time it was on the air was 6 years ago. Maybe five. I'm not sure. It was five or six.
And when you left, did you think that was it? Or did Richard Plepler and all the guys obviously they were going to leave the door open. But in your mind, was that the end of Curb?
I didn't really know. I kind of thought so, that was probably it. But I never, ever said it was it because I wasn't ready to say that. And it turns out that I was right. I couldn't bring myself to say that was it, but I wasn't ready to do it again, obviously.
No, I mean, it's you had an amazing run. You know, there's a list of people in the history of television who have had, you know, two things like you've had now. You had Seinfeld and you've had this. And there are other stars who have done that, but it's an extremely unusual thing. And here's the thing, Larry, the bar had been set pretty high. And we've known each other a long time. So you'll allow me to blow a certain amount of smoke at you, but the bar had been set pretty high. And so your standards have to be high. And there had to be a part of you saying, well, I'm not coming back if it's not going to be as good as it used to be.
Well, that's exactly my thinking. That's how I thought on Seinfeld. And because after a while, you're really in competition with previous seasons. And you want the standards to be the same. And it's sometimes kind of daunting to think about it. Especially after you finish a season, you go, oh, how am I going to do another one? How can this one be as good as the last one? And so that really plays into it.
Yeah, and it's not like you were doing nothing after you stopped doing. You went and wrote and starred in a hit Broadway show, Fish in the Dark. I think I texted you over the summer a picture that I still have my Fish in the Dark T-shirt with a sold out house from the night from previews on that you told me once that when you got near the end, you were looking more forward to getting out of the show than you had been to getting out of the army.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after a while, you just want. I don't like things scheduled at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't like knowing that I have to be at a certain place every single day of the week.
Right.
It drives you crazy. You know,
sure.
You'll be playing golf and all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock. You go, I got it. It's like Cinderella. You got to get out of there.
Yeah. I remember we were playing golf one day and you was like, oh shit, I've got a show to do.
Yeah. And I don't like saying the same things every night, the same lines night after night. That's one of the things about Curb that I love, that we improvise it.
I saw you talking with Jimmy Kimmel, and he apparently is going to be on. What other cameos this season can you tell us about?
let's see. Elizabeth Banks is going to be on.
Yep.
Lauren Graham will be on. She plays a love interest.
That's
a word I would never use in my life, but only in an interview.
So Lauren Graham of the Gilmore Girls is it a recurring love interest?
Yes.
She is.
Yeah.
Oh, that! Look at you. Well, that's, you know, that's that.
I could do worse, right?
No, I just like the fact that you have the power with the power of Curb to just say, let's see, who do I want?
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's a form of it's a form of speed dating, but it's different. It's you've made it work for you on television.
Yeah, she was great.
You know, my literary agent represented her on her book and just loved her to death. Said it's just one of the best people and one of the smartest people that that she's ever met from, quote, out there. We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. Curb Your Enthusiasm, my favorite show of all time, returns on October 1st. And
she's pretty terrific, and Bryan Cranston is also on this year. He plays my therapist.
Does he really?
Yeah.
And is he going to be in more than one episode?
No, he's in one.
Oh my God! So all right, so we got Kimmel, Cranston, Lauren Graham, yeah. Elizabeth Banks. That's
Steven Weber.
Oh, he's great. Oh my God, I love him.
Wait, let me think. I'm leaving out a lot of people, and they're going to be upset.
That's okay.
Let me see. I can't think of any more right now.
By the way, I love Kimmel last night asking you if you like to entertain and have people over. And I thought for a moment. I said, Jimmy, do you think you're talking to like Bob David or Charlie David? Because you can't possibly, not the Larry David.
I've got a dining room table that hasn't been used.
Wait, you have to tell the story. You have to tell the story about your little New York. You told it to Kimmel, but I don't care. I loved it. Tell the story about what your solution was to dirty dishes and silverware in the sink when you were living in a small New York apartment back in the day.
Yeah, I moved in after college. I moved into this apartment in Hell's Kitchen on 43rd Street. Between 8th and 9th Avenue, right around the corner from Show World Center. And, you know, my parents gave me all these dishes and silverware. And, you'd eat, and, you know, you don't clean up all the time. And they began to pile up. And then I got sick of seeing all these dishes and all the silverware in the sink.
Yeah.
And I thought, what do I need all this for? There's nobody in here except me. So I threw everything out except for one plate, one fork, one knife, and one spoon. Never had to worry about it piling up again.
We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. Okay, so you stopped doing Curb. Okay, and then you do a Broadway show, which is, it's a huge hit at the time. People in New York know how tough the ticket was. And I know how tough it was because when I called David to get a ticket, I got nothing and had to go to a secondary market. Okay, so would you have been happy doing nothing? You're in the record books.
No, I can't do that.
If you must have considered other things in the time between Fish in the Dark and season 9 of Curb, right? I mean, people had to be coming with you with stuff, right?
No. No, nobody was coming with anything.
Well, I mean, were you writing, you know, I know.
No, eventually. I was doing stand-up.
You were really for real?
Yeah. Yeah, I did some stand-up. And then after I had my fill of that, that's when I decided to do Curb again.
Did you find that you enjoyed doing stand-up? I mean, that's the wrong way to ask it. Nobody actually enjoys doing stand-up. I understand what an ordeal you could be. But were you one of those guys who just showed up unannounced at the comedy club and did it?
No, I didn't show up unannounced. I told them I was coming in, yeah. I didn't show up unannounced.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it the first time because it was all fresh and all the material was new, and I enjoyed it somewhat the second time, not quite as much as the first time, but still okay. By the fourth, fifth, sixth time, I'm on stage going, why I've already said this, you know. And I knew, like, after that, I said, as I was doing it, I go, I'm not going to do this again.
You know, it's funny when you say that. When I go out on these book tours, because I write sports novels for young readers, but I do like two schools a day and then a library or a bookstore at night. And Larry, by like the third day, I'll be in a gym talking to 1,000 kids, okay? And I'll start to tell a story and I'll actually think, did I tell this story at the end of my presentation at the last school?
Yeah, right.
Or did I tell it at the beginning of this presentation? At which point the little boys and girls are going to think that Mr. Lupica is having some sort of an episode right there in the middle of the gym.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to keep track.
We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. So did you think about writing, you know, the book that I keep urging you to write with me? Or did you think about writing a movie? Did you think about writing another television sitcom? You are a writer at heart, so you must have been doing some writing in that period.
No, I was doing, after the play, I did stand up.
Yeah.
And then that drove me to Curb.
Drove you to Curb.
It drove me to Curb, yeah. I thought there's nothing I really enjoy more than Curb, so why not do it?
So would you like to announce right now that there's going to be a season 10 after season 9?
I'm definitely leaning to doing it again, for sure.
Oh, all right.
I'm not 100% certain, but I'm leaning towards it.
And it will be the same time slot on Sunday nights? I didn't even ask you that.
You mean for this season?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock Eastern time. Oh, that's great. Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. All right, we need to talk about sports for a little bit.
Yeah.
Larry is a crazed New York Yankees fan, and I would say that 99% of our texting involves sports. I may be slightly off on my math, but would you say that that's pretty much correct?
80.
Okay, 80%, but I will sometimes fall asleep after a Yankee game and wake up in the morning and see that there's a text, like a SOS message from Southern California, like after Betances has given up a walk-off home run to Manny Machado, saying, how can you get beat with your second best pitch, or whatever you said to me that night.
I don't understand why he didn't throw a fastball.
Larry, I was talking.
The guy throws 100 miles an hour.
Right.
It was crazy.
I was talking to Buck Showalter after that game, and they were scratching their heads after he bounced a slider in the dirt to Tim Beckham, their shortstop. Or if he strikes out Beckham on the 3-2 pitch, Machado doesn't even get to the plate. And then
exactly.
He does. Yeah. And Buck said that the way he was pitching that night, he turned to one of his coaches and said, you know, Manny's sitting on a breaking ball, right? And they all knew it in the dugout. And then he threw him a breaking ball, and the guy hit it over the left center field fence.
Oh, it was horrible.
All right. How do you feel
really
now? They improved at the trade deadline. They slogged around a little bit. Castro being back has helped them. It looks like Judge is starting to come out of it a little bit.
Does it? Does it? I don't know.
A little bit.
I'll tell you what. I predicted this as soon as I saw that home run derby.
Oh, I know you did. I know you said it to me.
Did I tell you?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. There wasn't a doubt in my mind.
I think
never should have ended that home run derby. That was ridiculous.
See, I'm one of the people who thinks that it's a terrible idea for these guys. I think it gets their swing. It gets their swing out of whack, and it's like the slam dunk competition, except the best players aren't in the slam dunk competition anymore in the NBA. And these kids are the best hitters in baseball.
Right, right. So bad. It was so bad. I'm really rooting for Greg Bird, though. He's really suffered, that kid, with these injuries.
And now he's got back spasms again, I read, either last night or today. But, Larry, do you think they can still win the American League East?
The Red Sox have a really soft schedule.
But the Yankees play. I heard Michael Kay say last night that they play 17 out of the last 20 games in New York, counting the two that they're going to play, the two at City Field. So that, the Red Sox do have a soft schedule. But, Larry, who would have thought at the start of the season that the Yankees starting pitching might look better than Boston's going into the last part of September?
Yeah, I know. That's a surprise. And I have to say, Sabathia has really surprised me this year. He's pitched well.
You weren't watching.
I was kind of shocked because I thought he was done.
But your manager, who gets a little twitchy, as you know, last night took CeCe out of a 5-1 game in the fifth inning and brought in Robertson.
By the way, I don't mind that at all.
I don't mind that at all.
And I have to tell you something. I have more confidence in this Robertson fellow, okay, than I think any other, more than Mariano. This Robertson, he never misses. He's fantastic.
I have so
much confidence in that guy. I love when he comes in.
He's been great since they got him from Chicago, and
he was great. He was great before he left.
He's going to give Girardi a chance in the playoffs to do exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about that Francona did, because really, really, even though Betances has slumped a little, they now have three closers. They have three closers. Robinson's a closer by profession and by history.
Right.
Betances is a closer, and it looks like Chapman has gotten back his form after giving up the worst home run of the whole year on that Sunday
God
night
almighty,
game
to that home run
to Devers of the Red Sox.
Bad.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh God, that was horrible.
Do you like this team? Do you like this Yankee team?
I do. I do like them. I love Sanchez. And how about, I got to give it to Cashman. He's made some tremendous deals.
Yes, he has.
Gregorius trade, that guy is great.
How good is Didi? He's had a quietly great year. And I'll tell you something. When you can keep Castro, those are great deals. When you can keep Castro on the field, man, doesn't it seem like he gets a lot of big hits? And by big hits, I mean big home runs.
Both those guys, for a second baseman and a shortstop, they're really good hitters. The Yankees are, I think they're set there. And I love Bird. I hope he does well. Judge is, he's you don't turn the TV off when he's on, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. All right, so who would you start in game one of the playoffs? Would you start Tanaka? Would you start Severino? Or would you start Sabathia?
Oh, no doubt about it. You have to start Severino.
He's been great. I started to worry about him last year, and what an arm the kid has. He has an unbelievable arm.
Yeah, no, he's number one.
you know, my friend, my dear friend, Bill Goldman, who wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and won an Oscar for that, won an Oscar for All the President's Men. He's the guy who came up with Follow the Money, by the way, Larry. You know, it wasn't Woodward and Bernstein. Goldman wrote it into the script for All the President's Men. It's become part of the language. And The Princess Bride. He always said that the one thing that always made him, put him in a comfort zone in, when he was out in Hollywood for any kind of movie meeting, was if there was another sports fan in the room. Do you find... No, and he felt like sports is a common language. No, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you find that? That
yeah,
if there's,
of course.
If there's one sports fan, just one in the room, it puts you in a comfort zone?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's always something to talk about.
Other than the script and the changes that somebody might want to make, right? We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. All right, now we have to switch to an unpleasant subject.
Yes, yes. Let's get it off. By the way,
yeah.
The punt? Come on. The punt? What are you doing?
Wait a minute. First of all, I was shocked. I was checking my phone for an hour after that, and I was waiting for the text.
No, you know why? I'll tell you why. Because I DVR'd the game. I played golf, and then I came home and DVR'd it. And, you know, I was just so disgusted. I didn't want to bother you. Here's the difference this year, okay? In previous years, watching them do stuff like that and screw up and make terrible blunders and then just be thoroughly incompetent, I would be frustrated watching the game, very frustrated. But now it's kind of win-win. Because
as they lose, as they lose, yeah.
Yeah. Like what from Raging Bull, right? If you win, if you lose, you still win.
Right.
So that it's much different watching it now, because I don't care if they lose, and I still root for them. I was rooting, but not as hard as I normally do. But because I was wondering how I was going to react, and I discovered that yes, I was rooting for them to do well, but I didn't care if they didn't, and I didn't get frustrated at all. So that was a pleasure.
Now,
I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Okay.
There you go.
Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. Okay, now you'll be completely happy.
Here's the thing. They should be playing the least conservative brand of football imaginable this year. They shouldn't care.
Right.
They should be throwing downfield. What do you care? So what? You're not going to win playing a normal football game. I just don't get Bulls at all. I just don't.
Well,
get it.
I don't think. I thought they had made a good coaching search and a good hire, and now I do not think they did. And now, do you have any desire to see them at some point go to Christian Hackenberg? Because
I want to go to Petty first. I think Petty's better. From what I've
when seen. He when he's healthy, you want him to play Bryce Petty, the Jets. Okay.
Yeah.
But are you? Can you watch?
I want him to go down the line. I'd like him to start Petty, you know, next week, and see how many, you know, see how he does. And if he can't do it, then put Hackenberg in. At least test both of them. There's nothing to do this season other than see these two guys.
Right. And Hackenberg is a second round draft choice. So at some point you have, don't you agree that they have to throw him out there and see if.
Here's what I don't get. Why can other teams throw people out there? Why did Russell Wilson get thrown out there? Why does Kaiser from on the Browns, he gets thrown out there. Now Watson's getting thrown out there. Everybody gets thrown out there except if you're on the Jets. And the Jets are the team that has to throw them out there.
Well, all right, let me ask you this about your...
it's like the Bizarro planet.
Your love of the Jets, you must have been a Namath kid, right?
Yes, yes. That's what got me. Namath got me. I love Namath, and that's why I started rooting for him.
Okay. Now, but are you comfortable with, you know, it's good for you if they lose all their games, like literally,
yes.
If they,
yeah.
it's not like the draft lottery. There's not any ping pong balls. If you lose all of your games, you're going to draft and apparently they're going to draft the kid from, SC, even though the kid from UCLA looks pretty good too, off of what he did against Texas A&M. But so as invested, this is what's fascinating to me about sports fans, as invested as you are in your teams. And you, again, you've lived in Southern California for nearly 30 years and you have remained loyal to Knicks, Rangers, Yankees, Jets. Okay. Can you watch the game knowing that the best thing for you is if they lose? So it sounds to me, if you want them to throw the ball around, that you want them to lose, but you want them to at least be entertaining as they're losing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should play conservatively.
Right.
I think they should just, you know, let the chips fall where they may, but Bulls would never do that. Yeah, at least make it entertaining. But he's a very predictable coach. But yeah, if they go 0-16, I'll be very happy.
Because it may finally get you the best quarterback you have. You think about it.
Yeah. And of course, what will happen is that they'll draft the kid from USC, and then he'll say that he doesn't want to play for the Jets.
Like Peyton Manning. Yeah, like Peyton Manning said
like
he didn't
Peyton
want to play.
Manning, exactly.
But you think about it, Larry, when you look at the history of this team, this incredibly star-crossed team, since Namath, probably the two best quarterbacks that you have had are Vinny Testaverde for that one magical year where we thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl until halftime of the game against the Broncos, and Chad Pennington.
That Bronco game. Remember that Bronco game?
The fumble. I was at the game.
Oh, you were? No. That fumble. Yeah. Who fumbled? I forgot his name.
Keith Byers had a big fumble in that game.
Yeah, okay.
And Parcells, that team and the job he did after he came from New England was one of the great coaching jobs of all time. And until halftime of that game, I think it was 10-0. I may be wrong. I think they had 10-0 at halftime and then did nothing in the second half. And Elway beat him and went on and won.
Who's the other quarterback you're thinking about?
Chad Pennington.
Yeah, he was good. He was good, not franchised, but good.
How are you dealing with the current how to put this political climate in the United States of America? Just I tell people that if I wake up in the morning and we're still here, I consider that a good day.
I fluctuate. I'll go for weeks where I can't look. I just can't listen to anything. I can't read anything. I'm done. And then all of a sudden I get sucked back in. And, now I feel like the past week has been kind of quiet.
Yeah, I know.
Hasn't it? Am I crazy?
No. It's if the last week, if the first 6 months had been anything like the last week, I don't believe that as many people in this country would be on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I don't.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. The last week feels kind of normal in a way.
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to do dumb shit. I mean, the pardoning of that thug sheriff from Arizona is just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard about in my life.
That was insane.
But when you can turn on your laptop and go to Twitter and find out that, you know, that there have been several days where, I mean, he's got one today about the fake news media. He's obviously taken a shot at Katie Turr, who wrote a book about him in the campaign. But you're right. Maybe it took a couple of natural disasters. I wrote a column the other day saying when he went to Houston, I said that was just an example of a hurricane visiting a hurricane. Because if you think about this presidency, you maybe can only grade it the way they grade these storms. Like Trump has a Category 2 week. He has a Category 3 week.
Right. We've been living through Category 5, 4s and 5s for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. And until the last few days, the freaking storm never blows out to sea. It's just a constant state of emergency. And you know, I don't want.
But they'll never wake up to what's going on with the climate. They'll just never. They'll never do anything about it.
I wrote a column in Monday's Daily News.
I read it. It was great.
About this very subject, that to deny this now is it's just shameful and stupid. And the idea that these storms aren't getting worse and they aren't coming with more frequency. And Larry, here's the thing. You know, these climate deniers want to say, well, no, climate change and global warming doesn't cause hurricanes. Nobody's saying that it causes hurricanes. I understand that hurricanes have been around for as long as we've been around. But they're getting worse, and it
very good column today in the Times, really good op-ed piece. I forgot the guy's name, Dave Lenard. Yeah,
he's
about this subject.
It's frightening. And listen, you've got kids.
Able to explain it to a moron like me so I can understand it.
Well, you know, the guy, Jeffrey Kluger from Time Magazine, who I quoted in my column the other day, that was a terrific piece about warm water and hot air. And, you know,
that's what the guy was writing, Leonardo was writing about. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, in the paper today.
Yeah, I mean,
the warm water, the hot air, yeah, all that.
And for that dope Pruitt who runs the EPA now to say the other day, this isn't the time to talk about this. And I'm saying, hey, asshole, when do you think would be a good time?
Right. Yeah, they did the same thing after all the shootings. It's not a good. This is not the time to talk about it. Guns. Yeah.
Well, let's not have a conversation about guns. Let's not have a conversation about race.
Look, it's the same. It's the same party that want mental patients to be able to buy a gun. So what can you say?
We're talking to Larry David on the Mike Lubica podcast. I've kept him longer than I said I would.
I got to get to work.
All right, let me ask you one more question. I've always wondered about this. One episode of Curb, how long does it take to do?
You mean to write and...
From putting it up on its feet the first day, do you still do it in a week, over the course of 1 week, one show?
Oh, it's about... to film one show takes about 7 days.
It does.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you had a ball doing it again.
Oh, Mike, I had the time of my life. It was really a blast, I have to say. And I don't say it very often. I'm really lucky.
Well, listen, I've been doing a countdown every couple of weeks in my column. You know how much I love the show. You know how much I want you to do well. Not that you need me to root for you to do well. I'm so glad it's back on the air. I'm not even going to ask you what season I should take with me to England. But October 1st, 10 o'clock. Curb Your Enthusiasm is back, and everybody who loves the show the way I love the show is glad to hear that news. Larry, thank you so much for doing this today.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you on the 27th.
For the premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm in New York City, thank you again, Larry. It's always great to talk to you.
Okay. Take care, Mike.
The great Larry David on the Mike Lupica podcast. He was Tyler Brewer, our producer, knows this. He was our very first guest. Our audience has grown substantially since then. But talking about that show with him, talking about sports with him, this is one of the giants in recent comedy history. Seinfeld and this in the same career. That's all. It's like we were talking a couple of weeks ago. Paul Anacone coached Pete Sampras and Roger Federer in the same lifetime. Larry David's having that kind of run going with two of the iconic shows of all time. October 1st, 10 p.m. Please subscribe to this podcast. Please download it. Go to the comment section. I'm sure Larry gave you a lot to talk about today. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.